December Community Connections call. We are on the second in our series of the peer support core values. And for a little background, these core values were chosen by a group of peers. They were our the peer advisory committee. We still have we have a council now. It's been changed a little bit, but it was by a group of peer professionals, folks working, and they worked very hard to come up with this list of key concepts and core values. Earlier this year, we covered the key concepts, and now we've moved on to the core values. Last month, we talked about authenticity, and this month, we are talking about honesty. So honesty is the second peer core value. And you can find these, if you're ever wondering what they are, along with the ethics, you can find them on the Via Hope website, www.viahope.org. You can also Google Via Hope core values, and you can the page will come up. So if you're ever just wondering kind of what's next or what the other ones are, if you haven't been able to join us for some of the others, or you want to know what's coming up, you can find them there along with those ethics. So let's dig in. Let's dig into talking about honesty. I found this to be a really interesting one. You know, as I spend time preparing, I was really thinking about sort of like how, like it seems like honesty would be a given. Right, and just to be clear, when we're talking about honesty in this way, that we're sort of using this definition of an adherence to facts and straightforwardness. So I'm curious what people think. Like, I'd like you to just take a couple minutes right now to reflect to yourself why this particular one would be included in our peer core values. So what is, since it seems like it would be a given thing, why do you think it seems important to explicitly say that honesty is a part of the peer support core values? Like, why did that get added? So just take a minute or two to yourself right now. I'm going to give people a chance if you want to jot down some notes. Just reflect on that for a couple minutes. All right. Does anyone want to share what they came up with, what their thoughts are on this?
Hi, this is Amber with MHMR. I just think that if you can't be honest with yourself, how are you going to be honest with your peers?
Okay, so it's got to start with yourself.
Hey, this is Jay with Public Health, City of Austin. I feel that just with the folks that we work with, I think if they don't feel that you're honest or that you can be honest, I don't think they're going to be comfortable sharing things. And when we have those conversations, when we need to gather information to help them, then they won't be open to sharing that information. We can't be trusted.
Right. So, yeah. So if you're not being honest with them, how would we expect them to open up, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
This is Leslie at Texana. And I was sitting here thinking about how honesty, you know, yes, it does start with us, but we're also examples of a healthy relationship. And a lot of people who are starting out the road of recovery.
Oh, Leslie, we've lost you a bit here.
Is that better?
Yes, much better. Thank you.
I don't know what that was. Well, I was saying that with honesty, we're the example of a healthy relationship and a healthy person in recovery. And so a lot of people coming in may not know what even being honest looks like. And so they're looking for us for that example.
Okay, yeah.
This is Helen from Fermia Care. And I agree with that. I also think, too, that when we're being honest with our people, with the people we're working with, that we need to maybe not share too much too fast, that we have to build rapport first and then, you know, share as the person we're working with feels comfortable. Just kind of being at their level and then, you know, slowly working our way up to maybe some of those things that they have a difficulty being honest with themselves about, or maybe things that we have difficulty being honest with ourselves about. But I think rapport help us and the people we work with feel more comfortable in being open about some of those uncomfortable things.
So honesty is a process.
I think it can be in some, with some people, with some of the families I work with. If we share too much too fast, it may make someone uncomfortable. But at the same time, some people have no problem with that. So I just kind of meet people where they're at and then kind of work from there. Because I feel if we share too much too fast, it may make others uncomfortable.
Gotcha.
Thank
you.
This is George McCain from the Austin VC. And I find that if you're honest, you never have to worry about who you told what to. It's like you are always, you know, you always have the same story to everyone that you talk to.
Yes, that is very true. Makes life a lot easier. I'm curious about... Oh, go ahead.
Sorry. I was going to say, this is Chelsea from Mid-Cities. It shows that you respect the other person, and it builds trust, and it improves the relationship overall, and it just shows that you're an ethical person when you're honest.
This is great stuff, guys. Does anybody else have anything they want to add, they want to include in there?
Yes, ma'am. I'm Linnell from Andrew Center, and I feel like being honest works both ways because with my client, if you can't be honest with yourself and admit that you have an issue, they won't be able to relate to you. Just like if I have a mental illness, and for the longest I had PTSD and I was in denial. Like the young lady said, you have to gradually put yourself out there. Because a lot of times people may not think that they have a problem because they've heard this over and over again. And now that they see somebody that's overcome their mental illness and they're working in the field, honesty is everything. So that may give that client an opportunity to say, okay, I see where she's coming from. maybe I've been in denial with my illness. That's the reason why they self-medicate with alcohol, substance abuse, or anything. And that may give that client an opportunity to say, okay, now I can be real with myself and say I'm ready to get help with the issues that I'm suffering from.
Absolutely. Thank you.
This is Leslie again. And when I heard that we were talking about Honest, I looked up on Google to see what it said, and I really like it. It kind of goes with what we're saying about being truthful and sincere no matter what, honorable and respected.
Yeah, that's nice. Mm-hmm. Let's take another pause. So we've talked about, so why is it important, like why is it included in our core values as peers? But I'd like to then kind of look at this in another light, which is more personally. So take just like a minute to reflect on how much do you value honesty in your relationship? So whether that's maybe intimate relationships or friendships or family. So just take a minute to reflect on how much you value that, what it means to you in your personal world.
Sorry, could you repeat that real quick?
Sure. So we're just taking a minute to reflect on how you value honesty in your personal relationships, that's intimate, your friendships, or your family. How much do you value honesty there? Like what does that mean to you in those personal relationships?
Are you looking to have someone speak up?
No, we're just taking a moment or two to reflect to ourselves, and then I'll invite everyone to chime in.
I'm sorry, what was the question?
We're considering honesty in our personal lives. So how much
okay.
you value honesty in your relationships, whether that's your intimate relationships, friendships, or family.
Okay.
So we're just taking a moment to reflect on that. So does anyone have any comments, anything they'd like to share about their personal reflections on that?
This is Liz from Anderson. Honesty in a relationship, that is that's a number one on the top of a goal with anything, because you have to have trust. It doesn't matter if it's in a personal relationship, work relationship, or just a family relationship, because if I'm sitting here disclosing information about me personally, I want to feel like that I can trust you with the information that I'm giving you. Just like if it's a client coming in telling us something, they don't want to hear us talking about their business with somebody else. So in a personal relationship, trust is the number one thing on my list, that if I cannot trust you, I can't disclose anything. And when the trust is gone, I can't have a relationship, period.
All right, thank you. How about other folks? What are your thoughts on honesty in your personal life?
Hi, you guys. This is Alex from Hill Country Family Partners. Honestly, having somebody to trust is very important. If you can't be honest in a relationship or even with your family members, that kind of gets the meaning of a relationship kind of gets lost, and it you don't want to be a part of it. So I think it's very important.
Okay, thank you, Alex.
Hey, I tend to just think of honesty in my personal life as like just the lines on the road, and they're there to keep you safe, to kind of guide you, and but also give you the freedom to be yourself. And you know, it's a whole lot of different things that take place within the realms of honesty. But yeah, that's basically it for me.
I like that a lot. Honesty gives you the freedom to be yourself. So let's take another turn with this. And consider, reflect for another minute, around a minute. What about with a service provider when you're the one receiving services? So whether in whatever context that might have been, reflect maybe on your experiences in life with service providers. Might be, a medical doctor, might have been a psychiatrist, it might have been just some professional providing services, and you in receiving services. Think about, has honesty been something that you have thought about in those relationships? Were you expecting it? Did you always get it? How did you feel when you didn't get it? Just chew on some of those things for a minute and think about honesty in terms of when you are with a service provider, when you're the one receiving services. So just take a minute to chew on that one. Does anybody have anything they'd like to share around that?
This is Leslie again, and I think that I've always walked into a professional setting where I'm getting services and expected the honesty to be there. There are times that I've doubted what they've told me, but not ever thought that they were just flat out not being honest with me. If that
okay.
makes sense.
Yeah,
this is Thomas Irwin at LifePath Systems. I just want to comment about that. I think that, being able to develop trust with our care providers, the people giving us service, is extremely important. I know when I started my recovery, 6 years ago, I was really skeptical of people and what they told me that I should be doing as far as any kind of mental health recovery. But I learned that I could trust them because they did what they said they were going to do, and turns out what they were telling me were some pretty good ideas. And so it was important for me to be able to really depend on these people because, as we all know, going through mental health recovery, you know, there's a big part of that is being able to trust ourselves, learn how to trust ourselves and also other people. So, and there have been a couple of mental health care providers I've crossed paths with that I found them to be not completely forthcoming with information that was critical to my healthcare needs, and then also, you know, some people that just were blatantly not doing the things that they were supposed to be doing. So that was something that, you know, I just immediately cast them out of my circle because I didn't want to have to deal with that trust thing with them.
Yeah. Well, and I think you hit on something in there that's pretty important, which is they did what they said they were going to do.
Yeah.
And so there's some integrity there. So it's interesting because when we talk about honesty, you know, like there's that kind of speaking truth, there's adherence to the facts, there's a straightforwardness, but there's something else that we're looking for around honesty that accompanies that, and there's this integrity that I think that we expect with honesty. And that typically if someone is maybe if they are an honest person, that there is a level of integrity around things like doing the things they say they're going to do. You know, so if they don't do the things they're saying, if somebody said, I'll do a thing, and then they don't do it, it doesn't necessarily mean they were being dishonest. You know, there could be a lot of reasons, but we attach that. That really seems to come together because I feel like that's a big one that I have seen when I was actively working as a peer at Austin State Hospital. I feel like that came a lot. Like people making promises or saying they would do a thing and then not following through. And that makes people feel like, well, I can't trust you. And we include honesty in that. Like, well, you weren't being honest with me. And it's like, well, you know, whether or not somebody was being honest, they didn't do it, and now I feel like I can't trust you to follow through. So it's interesting because honesty, like just this idea that people are not lying or they're being straightforward or they're sticking to the facts, there's more to it than that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. This is Thomas again, and if I can just piggyback onto that, you know, part of our recovery is needing to understand and also understand the importance of and experience consistency in many areas of our lives. So, for me, I was real consistent at being inconsistent for a number of years, mm-hmm. Things didn't end well at all with some of those things I was trying to accomplish. But it made all the difference in the world to me when, counselors and our psychiatrists followed through on the things that they said they were going to do, even if it's like, yeah, I'll get you some information on that and you can read through that. Or when you come in for our next appointment, I'll have that ready for you. And you know, they did so without fail, and so it was consistency that I could recognize, and it was something that I really liked, and I recognized that it was something that I needed to work really hard on incorporating into my own recovery.
Mm. Yeah, it goes back a little bit to what got shared earlier, I think from Leslie, which was around, like, being the example. So as service providers, when we are being consistent, and when we see that consistency, so whether we're receiving or whatever our role is, like that's a pretty critical piece. So honesty, yeah, it's more than just what comes out of our mouths or doesn't come out of our mouths.
I know from this is Jay again, just from my own story, when I took my son to the neurologist the first time, I guess my expectations was more of an intimate setting and meeting and exchange to take place. But what I would see was far from that. It was like in and out. He was there, then he wasn't there. And next thing I know, he's trying to diagnose my son, and I was like, I just felt disappointed, and I felt incomplete. You know, I had all sorts of emotions coming through, and that, in a way, affected my view of that going forward when I spoke with families or parents about that, but not so much in a negative view, but in a positive, because I was able just to give them words and just affirmation and just things to kind of do to prepare for that going in. You know, things like, you know, if you have to stand in front of the door, don't let him leave until you're comfortable and that you feel he spent time and really put your son first, and it wasn't just a number kind of thing, you know, just rushing him in and getting him out, but he really stayed there, answered your questions, and you were confident in the information you were receiving. And you felt he sat there and actually looked at your son in the eye and got to know him. So, and those type of things. And just some of the other some tips as well to ask and have questions ready and just all sorts of things that experience taught me.
Yeah, all those unfortunate life lessons that we get, but boy, do they make you a good advocate, right? Like they can really teach you about, and then being able to, because I think, you know, a lot of folks, we look to particularly medical professionals, whether it's physical, you know, medical or a psychiatrist or whomever it is, we look at them as experts. And it can be very, very difficult to stand up and, you know, or to get in front of the door or whatever it is and say, hey, we're not done. I need you to spend more time, or I need you to see me or my child, or like, I this doesn't feel complete to me and I'm asking for more. That's a really challenging thing. And I think, too, like, it's interesting because earlier, right, so that maybe with service providers, we have an expectation that some folks may have an expectation that, like, oh, you're going to be honest and you're going to have integrity and you're gonna really spend the time with me. But then I have also met a number of people who absolutely mistrusted, you know, service providers and we're like, hey, I don't believe anything that's coming out of your mouth. Like, you don't know me, right? So, like, so I've seen both sides of that, where there was sort of implicit trust in the expert, in this, you know, this professional, and then the other side where there was, you have to really work to earn the trust, to be able to trust. Right. And for good reason a lot of the time, you know. There's certainly, for example, for Indigenous Americans and for African Americans, there's a long history of folks being treated and were used by the medical community. And so there's a mistrust that grew out of that because you go in for one thing and, you know, you end up sterilized or you end up, you know, with a disease because you've been experimented on, that would build, like, intergenerational and historical trauma that comes in where there's a lack of trust and for good reason. So it's interesting, I think it's important to explore both sides and to not assume if someone doesn't, like, we can be honest in how we conduct ourselves as peers, but it doesn't mean someone's going to automatically come in and trust us. A lot of times that has to be built, and it goes back to that thing, I think, of you do what you say you're going to do. You know, you've got to be able to show.
Absolutely.
You've got to be able to, like, be that example, and you've got to, sometimes it takes time to build that, and for very good reasons.
That's good.
Yeah, I mean, because honesty, so, you know, I'd like to take a second, too, to talk about the difference between honesty and transparency. And transparency is the one that I will often add for myself in the peer support core values, and it's not on that list, but to me it's a pretty important one. And, so the difference between honesty and transparency, so honesty might be that I'm going to tell the truth when I've been asked, but transparency means that I'm going to reveal truth whether or not it's prompted. So transparency might mean I have nothing to hide. You can ask me questions, and I can be honest, but it doesn't mean I'm being transparent.
Mm.
Right? So, you know, if I ask you, you know, this is, again, something that would come up a lot when I was at the hospital, that sometimes providers were not, they were being honest, but they were definitely not being transparent. And so I'm curious if people have thoughts about the difference between these two things, between honesty and transparency. Maybe just take another minute to chew on that one. So how are they different, and how do they work together, and how do you value these two things, honesty and transparency? Like, chew on sort of like these two ideas for a second together.
Christina, this is George McCain from the Austin Daily again. I want to go back a little bit because one of the things that I think, when I worked as an accountant, I used to use like the Franklin Covey system of prioritizing things. And so, like, if you're going to make an appointment with somebody, with, you know, one of your patients or whatever, and you tell them that you're going to do something, try to, like, make their request, like, an A priority for your next, for, like, the day before that they're going to come in so that you have that ready for them. And, like, in the morning, put all, like, all your requests that you're going to have for your patients that you've told them that you're going to do, like, in line so that you can have that readily accessible to them and you're not shuffling through a whole bunch of papers looking for whatever that they're doing. And, like, you can go, like, if you're seeing somebody, let's just say the same day next week, you could end up making it to be, like, a B priority to do something like Friday or like Monday if you're going to see them on a Wednesday type deal so that you definitely have it, but make sure that you have it the day before so that you have it in line when you come into the office, and then you can end up like having it so that that person has it and then you can give it to them. I just think that is kind of a good way to show that, you know, you've done your responsibility, now are you going to do yours, I think.
Absolutely. That's good practice, George. Absolutely. Thank you.
Hi, this is Latrice from the Harris Center. And,
Hi.
I wanted to speak on the transparency. I don't know if this is it, but I know that sometimes I may get a request from someone, and it may be something that we've talked over and over again, and I find myself frustrated, and sometimes I think I have to speak up and say, hey, you know what? We've talked about this a few times, and I'm feeling a little frustrated because sometimes I feel like even though if I try to hide my emotions, they still come across my face.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me to just go ahead and to be upfront about, you know, my frustration with it all, it really helps strengthen our relationship, and sometimes it helps them or empowers them to to say, hey, okay, yeah, we did talk about this, and okay, yeah, I really do need to, you know, step it up a notch, instead of me trying to hide my frustration, hide, you know, just kind of being, oh, okay, it's all good, when it's really not. Is that kind of like being transparent? I don't know.
Absolutely, because you could not say anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean you're necessarily being dishonest. You know, you're not withholding back. You're not, you know, but it's not right. You're not being completely transparent. To be transparent means to say, I'm finding this a little frustrating. So it's, yeah, there's some nuances in there. Like, you can be honest without being transparent. Although, if you are being transparent, you are being honest.
Okay.
That's what I'm thinking, right? But absolutely,
right.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, because I've noticed that I've maybe lost the connection because I've held that in, but it comes out in my tone. It'll come out in the way I look, I guess, just the look on my face. All that shows forth, even though I'm trying to be as nice as possible, or trying to, well, not be nice, as I'm trying to hide it. It still, for some reason, it shows up. And I think I lose a little trust in that person. That person loses a little trust in me, or it's like something, the connection is lost or almost lost when I'm not being truthful or not being upfront or just not being transparent, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yes, definitely.
How did you say it? You can be honest without being transparent, but you can be transparent with honesty or what?
No, well, my thought is that, so you can be honest without being transparent, but if you are being transparent, then you are being, then honesty is already there. Like, you are being honest. So, maybe some different thoughts on that, but to me, you can be honest without being transparent. Just because I'm honest doesn't mean I'm revealing everything, you know? And you know, if you haven't asked me and I don't tell you, it's not that there's a lack of honesty, but if I am revealing, I'm both being honest and transparent.
Yeah.
If it makes sense.
Why?
Yeah, this is Thomas. Could I add something to that?
Yeah,
so the transparency thing, I think, is critical to what we do because, you know, we talk about things that or make suggestions to people about things we recognize based on our own experience, lived experience, what they can work on to better themselves. But when we relate stories of our own personal lived experience with mental health, to me that's being extremely transparent because we're sharing some, you know, really deep things that in order to help that person improve their life. And so, you know, the honesty along with the transparency, sometimes I don't know, you know, obviously there's no choice, there's no option other than honesty, but being transparent and knowing when to be transparent can be very beneficial to people. And it can prove up their confidence in us. It's, you know, my experience has been that. And then we're able to go into a lot more, I guess, critical or in-depth discussion about where they are in their life right now.
So being transparent is being real and opening your emotions or talking about your feelings to people?
Yeah, being transparent, so, I mean, if you think about it, if an object is transparent, the transparency, you can see through, right? So transparency, so it might be emotions, it might be something else, right? So it might be I'm sharing parts of my story, it might be I'm sharing parts of myself. So it can be verbal or it can be, you know, about experience or history, but, it can also be about, you know, emotional stuff. Like, I feel like it's the whole thing is that it's like I'm I'm revealing and I'm not hiding. I'm not hiding.
Yeah.
And yeah, I do, I agree. I think both are really critical to peer work. And it's part of the reason why, you know, I forget sometimes, so I'm going to be transparent right now. I tend to forget that honesty is on our core values because I always go right to transparency. So, like, that's my own little quirk, right? My own little whatever, my own thing. But I'm not, and it's not that I don't value honesty, but rather that to me, transparency includes honesty.
So you already have the quality.
Right. I want to live, and I tie them into authenticity as well. So it's always interesting, you know, how our, you know, we talked about authenticity last month, right? Like there's this thing of how we can talk about these things separately, but then how they all connect. And how they all sort of are interwoven and rely on each other to be the most effective and impactful in our work. How about other folks? Does anybody else have any other thoughts about honesty and transparency or questions or comments?
Yeah, this is Thomas again. I have one more thing about the transparency and honesty is that, you know, the way we communicate with people is so important with the way is so important as to how they interpret what we're saying. And, you know, we've talked about the our skepticism of different care providers at times or had them earning our trust. And so one of the things that I've learned that's really helped me is not only the things that I say, but, of course, the tone of my voice and then also my posture. When I'm with the client, I make sure that I focus directly on them and make eye contact with them, and I make sure that my posture is such that is an open and, you know, non-threatening style so that they feel comfortable with that, and even, you know, going into a little bit of modeling or matching the way they're seated or things that they're doing rather than, you know, moving around and just doing lots of scattered kinds of things, like maybe trying to, look at the phone and or look at a note. There, you know, other things that look distracting to that client when we're talking with them.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
All these things, it forms a complete picture. You know,
yeah.
Honesty is a piece of it, but as are all the other things. So, you know, I want to go back to this, this whole thing of really so much of our work is done in relationships. So peer work is it's rooted in relationships. Now, you bring a lot of things to that, right, like skills and, things you offer to people. But it's all built on this foundation of a relationship. So tying it back to sort of this question that we started with, which is, you know, why would we add honesty to our core values? And to me, in my thinking, it is in large part because we are doing the work of relationship building. And as so many of you have said, very beautifully and eloquently, and it is part of, like, any relationship. In order to do real work, in order to have you know, trust that in order to have any of the things to be able to move forward, honesty has to be, that's a key component to being able to actually go deep with someone or go far with someone. If we lose them, if we lose their trust or we never gain their trust, how do we then have, you know, anything real between us? And if that's where the majority of our work is being done in this relationship building, then I think maybe failed is a strong word, but we have not completed our task, for sure. We have not done our work. And that is not to say that every relationship we have with the folks that we serve is going to be ideal or it's going to be a great fit, but that if we come in always sort of with these foundational pieces of how you would build any relationship, you at least have the ground to work from. You know, doesn't mean you're going to, you know, work together for years or that, you know, it will be, you know, like, we don't always know how these things will play out, but the possibility is then there. Does anybody have any thoughts about that? Do you agree or disagree? Maybe, and I'm open and, you know, certainly interested in people's thoughts. Like, to you, is this the primary work of the peer, is to build relationship and be in relationship?
Yes, it is.
Okay. I didn't quite catch that. Okay. Are folks just chewing on it, or is it just like an obvious thing and we can move on? That's possible, too.
This is Edward at the Carvista Hospital.
Yeah.
Yeah, I found that being as a former patient here and now working here, this has been a major part, a major component of my working here. Having a relationship with many of the people that are still here and with other ones that show up, and thinking I'm just staff or whatever, and I can actually ask them to ask someone else who I am and what I'm about, rather than just give them a story that they may or may not believe, but if they go to someone else and they learn about who I am and gain that respect and trust, then that can work in ways that nothing else would.
So I like that because you've established a precedent. So, like, I think that's that other thing, too, of when we are consistent, and this has come up, too, in this conversation, right, when we are consistent, then that establishes a precedent, and it's not just about the one relationship then, but it's then how people will, the sort of reputation, if you will, that it will precede you, that people will be like, yeah, you can trust that person. I have a number of times, you know, when new folks came into the hospital, people who had been there for a while, they'd be like, yeah, you know, they're part of they're part of peer support. You can trust them. They're good people. Like, they're not going to steer you wrong, or they're going to do right by you, or you can trust them. Then you take it outside of the individual and you look at a team, you know, you look at it as a profession, and like the importance of this is, you know, in terms of consistency as professionals, and why it is going back again, why is it part of our core values, that if someone is familiar with peer support in one place and they go into another place to get services and there's peer support there and they've had a good experience, they're more apt to be open and be like, oh, yeah, I know peer support. You guys are great. Like, I'm willing to talk to you. So this isn't just about us as individuals and our work with individuals. It is about our teams. It is about our profession and having that integrity across the board. How about other folks? Does anybody else have any thoughts about?
Yes, this is Becky from the Agape Center in Amarillo, and I
yes.
just think that in building relationships, we take those things like authenticity and transparency, and that builds a picture of who we are and what we are about. And I think it takes honesty to a whole new level when you incorporate all those things together.
Yeah, absolutely. Honesty on its own matters, but it's when you have the complete picture. I like that, yeah. And like we were saying earlier, like how all these things work together. So here's another interesting thing that sometimes comes up when we're talking about honesty, and that is, can you be too honest? And sometimes using the guise of honesty to be, whether intentional or not, to be cruel, that maybe the way that we've been talking about honesty has a lot of integrity to it, but then there's this other, like, if we think about everything has sort of a light and a shadow side, this is what we've been talking about, is sort of the light, and now this, you know, honesty, does it have a shadow side? And I think that it can be sometimes wielded as a weapon myself. And there's this beautiful adage. And when I looked it up, there's some mixed opinions or mixed thoughts on where it originated from. But it is the idea that before you speak, to let your words pass through three gates. And it is it true, is it necessary, and is it kind? And I'm sure y'all have heard various versions of that. I've seen it in school, you know, for kids when, you know, that they're teaching them, right? Because kids sometimes, where they don't have much of a filter and they can be honest, in ways that can be a little harsh, right? If you've ever seen that or heard that as a kid. So I'm curious if folks have thoughts about that, like this sort of shadow side of honesty and this idea that before you speak, you let your words pass through these three gates. Is it true, necessary, and kind?
This is Leslie again. And I definitely use those, but I add a fourth one, and the fourth one is, does it need to be said by me?
Right, right. Yep, there's different variations. Yep. I've seen that one as well.
Can you hear me?
You're a little, it's a little hard to hear you, but go ahead. Is this better? A little bit.
Okay, what about this?
That's perfect. Thank you.
Okay, all right. But yeah, I definitely do think that there is a shadow side of honesty, and you had mentioned cruelty. I've heard that phrase that honesty without tact is cruelty. So, you know, I think that, you know, you're completely right as far as that there's a, you know, a shadow side to it. Honesty, it's a, you know, foundation for good relationships, but then there's, you know, everything, you know, has its, the good things about it and the bad things about it, and then you can sometimes overdo it. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's definitely true. Yeah, I knew somebody that practiced what they called radical honesty, and I think they used it was almost like they used it as an excuse just to be, like, insulting people all the time and saying things about people's appearances that were just completely, you know, unwanted comments, and it was, it's kind of interesting, but yeah, it wasn't helpful in them building long lasting relationships. So yeah, I do think there's yeah, like you said, just kind of a shadow side to it. So tact is important.
Yeah, thank you. Radical honesty. Yeah, if it's not coupled with tact or kindness or something, right, it could end up not feeling very good for the people around you. How about other folks? Has anybody had any experience with that?
Can you repeat that question?
Has anybody had any experience with that that they'd like to share? Any experience with tact or the kindness? We're getting a little bit of background noise here. There we go. No? All right. So let's sort of tie all of this together. And maybe take a moment now to reflect. We'll just take like a minute or so. Consider like all of the things that we have discussed so far on this call about honesty in relationships and why it's a core value for peers, all of these things, and just see like kind of what rises to the surface is standing out for you. So reflect on the call and just see what rises to the surface. What is really staying with you right now? And just take a moment here, and then I'll invite folks to share. right. What have people got? What's really risen to the surface for you? What is sitting with you from this conversation?
Well, for me, I was pondering with your close companions or your relationships that you're really close to, you can be like that. But in this world, it's so difficult because there's so much, what one person said about radical honesty, like how people insult and say things without being tactful or kind. And comment that many people will not be too honest. So,
yeah. Great, thank you. Yeah. How about other folks? What is really sticking with you from the call? What's standing out?
Hey, this is Jay. I know for me, just integrity, you know, being who you are, not compromising, and no matter what, you know, where you are, whether you're advocating or you're in a setting just for yourself, just being genuine. And I think doing that kind of prepares the way for honest conversations and things like that.
Yeah.
What happens when you have consumers who might not feel the need to be too honest or open up, but here you are being transparent and saying things because snippets of your story you're revealing, but do you work on building that type of, or helping them build that type of safety where they can be honest, or maybe if they don't even want to work on that, because some people just are fine who they are.
Yeah, things like that. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm wondering if I'm making my point.
Yeah, no, I think so. It makes sense to me, and I think if we return to this idea of consistency, so we don't really, we don't get to control the outcome. We don't get to, you know, like we are not looking for, you know, like, oh, in order to be, you know, successful, this person has to, you know, do X, Y, and Z, be able to be honest with me. You know, it may be that, and this is one of the hard things about being a peer, is that we are operating at a level with transparency, and like you said, in a world where a lot of people aren't. And all we can do is one, take a really good care of ourselves, because there's a lot of vulnerability there. But also to trust that if we are consistent and that we continue to be honest and transparent and offer who we are and engage in relationships, that whether or not we see the results of that it will have an impact. We may not get to see that in our work, you know, but it doesn't mean it hasn't had some kind of an impact.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, you know, I don't know that that might feel like a little like a non-answer, but I strongly feel that we have to let go of outcomes. We can hope for things for people, but because we're always supporting self-determination too, right, all we can do is be ourselves and share ourselves and be supportive of where they're at, you know, and what folks want.
The way I see it is that having all these core values is great. You can have integrity. You can be vulnerable. You can have the courage to be yourself, you know, but you will get tamed for it. So it's from the reality of how things are, people will, you become vulnerable in many, many ideas or thoughts about how you are and how you're being. But as far as is it necessary for us to have it, yes. Like I'm seeing that as a peer, you want to have someone like a support person who's going to be honest, who's going to show the vulnerability. You know, people will give, so interesting because like Respect Institute was like demonstrates, or actually from what I'm seeing is that peers who have lived experience, you get awarded for it, people applaud you. But in reality, from the outside perspective, people will shame you. So it's like, it's hard. It's when it comes to work, involving with people that need it, it's going to be wonderful. It's a wonderful experience to help someone else or to be a support system for someone.
But I think you make a really good point. I mean, I don't know that anybody, you know, like to be genuinely authentic, to be transparent, and even to be honest takes a lot of courage. And there's a reason it takes courage, right? Because there is this possibility, and some of it depends on who's in your world, you know, your community, your family, the sort of the places that you, where you work and live and love, there's the potential for shaming, and not everybody's going to get it. And that is part of that, I don't know, for me, it's like the freedom, the liberation that comes with being able to live authentically is worth that, right? Because I know in my personal life and in my professional, like, I'm going to work to build circles of people that are going to accept me, and more than accept me, will want to be near me or be around me or be connected to me because of the authenticity. So it is a risk. There is a risk there, and it does take courage. And I want to definitely honor that. And it takes courage to do it in our work as well. Because, you know, usually it's not the standard or the norm where we work, the places that people are working, for people to be like, so let me tell you about this time in my life where everything fell apart, right? Like, that's not the normal average conversation that other service providers are having. It takes risk and it takes courage. Thank you for bringing that in. How about other folks? So anybody else, as you were reflecting on this conversation we've been having for the last hour or so, like, what is rising to the surface for you that's really staying with you?
Yeah, this is Thomas. I wanted to respond to your comments and the lady's comments just prior to you. You know, we run across those people that want to look down their noses at us for, you know, all kinds of things. But really, what I've learned in my recovery is that it doesn't bother me anymore when someone wants to judge me based on misplaced information or lack of information or just, you know, lack of whatever. And so, you know, I have a choice of whether I'm going to react positively or negatively or indifferent to that. And so I recognize that choice now. And, you know, I know what I've done. I know what I've the struggles that I've been through in my recovery, and I know that I have a successful recovery. And so those people have no concept of the things that I've been through to be where I am today. And we're all like that. And unless, you know, it just comes back to the basic pure thought is that, you know, we do what we do because we can share our stories with people who have similar lived experiences. And those people that don't have that experience are either haven't been honest enough with themselves to understand that there are things that they can improve on in their lives to live a happier life. You know, we we can't control what those people do, but we can control the way we respond to it. And it seems like more so nowadays than it was 4 or 5 years ago, is that people are becoming more receptive to mental health care, and people seem to be more aware of PTSD, not only with military veterans, but also in civilian life, based on traumatic experiences that people may have experienced, regardless of whether they're a military veteran or not. But I had a really interesting experience this past weekend. I volunteered for the Collin County Peer Veterans Support Network. And so I went to the veterans ceremony, and I talked with several people, and inevitably, you know, it comes up, well, how are you, you know, what do you do? Are you a military veteran? And, you know, no, I'm not a veteran, but I have, you know, I tell them a little bit about my story. And they go, oh, well, that's so good that you work with people. You know, my so-and-so has, I'm sure they have PTSD, and do you have any suggestions? Or, you know, they're more open and more willing, and almost like, wow, it's good to, like, somebody kind of is talking about the white elephant in the room, so to speak. And that may be a little bit extreme, but if y'all get what I'm trying to say. So we can turn those comments around if we want to put the energy into it, to those negative comments or negative opinions, by informing people and helping them understand what peer support is really all about, and what we do, and help them recognize what our successes have been.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for that. I think, you know, that's a great spot to be, where you do not take on other people's responses that are based out of their own, whether it's ignorance or whether it's, you know, as in lack of knowledge, or whether it's their own shame that they're trying to contain because they don't want to be transparent, or their projections, whatever it is. It's great when you can get to a place where you're like, hey, I don't have to take that on. I do think it's a process, and I think it's easier with some folks than with others. So I can, if a stranger has an opinion about me that I don't agree with, I might be like, no, whatever, okay, and maybe I'm going to take the time. But if it's someone close to me, if it's a family member or a lifelong friend who isn't understanding where I'm coming from and is shaming me, that can be a lot harder to not take on, right? So that is definitely a process. Go ahead.
Like what you said, you can have an impact just like working to build people who will accept you and want to be around you. I appreciate those comments, because we're trying to empower people by helping them feel encouraged or encouraged so that they can keep on living. You know, all these people that are going to be associated or are going to be involved with us, they're vulnerable. They're willing to ask for help right now. They're going to be part of a support system where we build up so that we can help give them whatever tools that we have at our hands so that we can help them. It's like, but it's just food for thought to also let them know that it might not always go according to what they might think with others being involved, you know, in their care. Or even if it's just, you know, because I know we do a group facilitation about support system, and I was the one that did the one about personal boundaries.
Yes, I remember.
I'm quite aware of how your support system can be great for you, but at the same time, it could backfire if they're not willing, you know, to accept you, so to speak.
Yeah. Sometimes our transformation or recovery, or however whatever language you use to talk about your own personal evolution of your life, sometimes we lose people in that process. It definitely can be part of it, and that's tough. with you from this conversation of, you know, your takeaway, what you're walking away with about around honesty and these other things that we've been talking about connected to honesty.
I have one comment. This is Lanelle from Andrew Center. I feel with honesty as a peer, we have to be honest with ourselves. And if you're not honest with yourself, how can we direct and advise other peers to overcome their illnesses?
So honesty starts with yourself.
Yes, it has. It's got to be, because, like when you were talking about the service provider, I'm a veteran. And when I was going through go to the doctor, they weren't listening to me. They were just writing, giving me prescriptions. So I felt like I'm not going to tell my peers something that's not going to be beneficial for me.
Yeah.
Instead of trying to get medicate me more, try to help me figure out what the issue is so I can try to fix it myself.
Absolutely.
Because a lot of times you see peers that's dealing with mental illness. They've been hospitalized and everything like that. I've seen many of peers that is in my group, they don't want to go to the hospital. That's the last thing they ever want to do. So they try their best to try to stay on their medication, try not to relapse, or none of that. Instead of trying to always shove them in the hospital, let's try to teach them how to regulate their medication, try to avoid triggers and stuff like that.
An interesting, it brings up an interesting thought for me, because this thing of being honest with oneself doesn't mean that I have to take on other people's truth about me. It opens up an interesting door, right? Because when I first started really getting services and was really struggling as a teen, there was truth that other people wanted me to accept. And in their eyes, perhaps I was not being honest with myself. But really, I didn't accept their truth, and I had to come to my own truth. And I think sometimes, you know, I'm going to tie back to self-determination, which was one of our key concepts that we explored before we started this series, and that we want to support people's self-determination around also their struggle to figure it out, because I don't need someone else to accept my truth. I want them to find their own truth in a way that's going to work for them. Because I'm not the one living their life. They are, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a lot of pressure from service providers to accept, you know, sort of, you have to accept you have an illness and you're always going to be on this medication and this is what your life is always going to look like. And that can be really limiting. Now, for some people, that might be part of their own truth, too, that, like, oh, I'm going to be honest with myself that, you know, I have this diagnosis and that I may need to take medication. That might be part of someone's truth, but it doesn't mean it might be part of the next person's truth, that for them,
no,
that is not where they see, how they see themselves or how they want to move forward. So we've got to have a lot of room. We've got to have a lot of openness about letting people define what being honest with themselves looks like, wherever they need to get to. Like, sometimes the struggle is part of it.
You're absolutely right. Because if that's the case, everyone that's on this call have had a provider saying, oh, you have schizophrenia, you'll never be able to work around people because you're different, or because I have PTSD, I'm a ticking time bomb. I'm not going to tell you my truth. I'm going to prove them wrong. And I'm a living witness. Everybody on this phone is a living witness that have made their own recovery to where they become a better person and they can allocate for peers saying, okay, I might have this disability or this mental illness, but I'm still standing.
Yeah. Absolutely. Thank you.
Does anybody else have any final thoughts about honesty? Honesty is a core value. All the things that we've talked about. We've covered a lot. We've gone pretty deep with this topic, which is to me is fantastic. Did somebody have something? Okay, just getting a little background noise there. All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for this really just juicy, deep conversation about honesty. It is the second peer support core value. Next month, we do not have a call in December. We take December off, but we will be back in January to explore the third core value, which is mutuality. So that, too, should be another very rich, engaging conversation, I am sure. So if you are interested in CEUs, I am going to ask you to please email me. And the way the process works is you email me and request the quiz. There is a CEU quiz. I will send that out to folks once I get it created. And that usually it's either I'll have it done by the end of today or I'll have it done tomorrow. And I will mail that out to folks. I'll email it back out. You will follow the instructions in my email, which there will be a link. You take the quiz. And you need to get 3 out of the 4 questions correct. If you do so, I will send out a CEU certificate also through email. Usually the whole process takes about a week. So if you don't hear, don't fret if you're not hearing right back from me after you've taken the quiz, because I tend to do them all at once and not one at a time. So it would be too easy to lose track otherwise. So I leave it open for a week and then get those certificates out to you. Also, these calls are archived on our website. I am a little behind on that right now, but I plan on calling our Conference America is who we go through to get those recordings and get those up on the website. Community Connections takes place the second Wednesday of every month from 10 to 11:30, except for August and December when we take off. So my email is christina.carney@viahope.org. That is christina.carney@viahope.org. Email me for the CEU quiz, and I will get that out to folks, like I said, either by the end of today or tomorrow. Any questions before we wrap up our call? All right. I hope that y'all will be able to join us again in January for the continuation of our core value conversation. And I hope that whatever holiday you celebrate, you have a wonderful season. and get to spend some time with friends, family, loved ones, eating good food, and doing all the festive things. So please take care of yourselves. Thank you again, and we'll talk to you in January.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.